Hi, this is Kat from Ironbark Cider in Southern California. We make SoCal-style cider, light, irreverent, kind of cheeky, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 142. And welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rio Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And I just can't stop smiling, thinking about what you are in for, a conversation with Kat Fleming, who is the woman behind Ironbark Ciderworks. This is based in Claremont, California, and that is a deserty region at the base of Mount Baldy. Pretty hot place. So what are they doing there? Well, you're going to find out from Kat. But before we get to that chat, let's do a little bit of news out and about in Ciderville. Oh, it's that time of year. Everybody's just revving up 100 miles an hour. I got a little note today from one friend saying, I need 8 15-barrel kegs. Do you know anybody where I could get that from? And I kind of hooked him up, which I feel really happy about doing that, because you do not want to see cider sitting in a vessel and kind of dropping to a drier and drier and drier degree if that's not what you're really wanting to have happen. So if that sounds like language from Mars, because you're not in the cider know-how, I get that. Basically, when you are fermenting cider, it will go dry, and there's different steps you could take to change that course. And my friend is now moving into commercial cider making and just trying to catch up. So that was kind of one of those crazy calls. And then these different emails coming in on different topics. So I want to get back to one that was on cider internships from last week. And that was a request for any news out there in Ciderville, anyone who's offering a cider internship. So I posted that at the Ciderbook Facebook page saying, hey, if you have one, let folks know, because it's kind of like connecting the dots here out in Ciderville, or the apples or the pears or the palms. And and we heard from Matisse, who is the cousin of Diego Rivera, who is on episode 40. And these two cousins make cider in Chile at Quebrada del Chacao. And that is at the base of a volcanic mountain and just a really cool area. And they are offering an internship. So that was nice, because Matisse was able to post that. And then someone else came on board and said, and that's Jennifer, she's looking for an internship too with someone who's doing wild ferment. Obviously, there is a need out there, Ciderville. So if you have an internship, and perhaps you thought, oh, I want to have an internship, I don't know how to do that. Well, now is the time to start putting that together. Folks, we take it for granted, thinking, okay, who wants to learn how to transfer cider from one vessel to another? That really basic skill level is really good to do at a hands-on level. Otherwise, just reading out of a book, you know that saying, you can't grow corn out of a book? You got to get in the field, you got to get in the orchard, you got to get in the cider house to do that. So if you have an internship, you could post it at Cider Chat Facebook page, or just send it to me. And I'm just having a humdinger of a time just kind of getting people connected to that. So don't hesitate. And hopefully the folks who are looking for that will be able to find exactly what they need, so we can all benefit by people getting more knowledge out there and sharing that knowledge in Ciderville. All right, when we come back, I have another little letter that came in from Montana. This email came in from Montana, as I said, and the writer is a guy by the name of Mike. And he starts it with no, like, hello or anything. It just starts with okay, comma. I guess I'm a self-proclaimed cheerleader from Montana Cider. After discovering your podcast and listening to a couple dozen, I search your website and lo, And behold, only reference to Montana is a mobile juicing episode. Such disappointment and a sad face. Mike writes, Montana has become a relatively busy ciderville in itself. In the mobile juicing episode, Ryle Schalzberger references Montana Cider Works in the Bitterroot Valley. Since that time, at least three more cideries have developed in that area and two more in south and eastern Montana. There is also a cidery in the works in the Flathead Valley. Suffice to say, things are heating up cider-wise in Montana. Both Montana Cider Works and Western Cider have recently won awards at national competitions as well. Hope to see a Montana-centric episode in the future. Mike. Well, Mike, you just helped get Montana on this here podcast and bring us up to date with some news about Montana and all the cider happenings there. So thank you very much for taking the time. And if you or anyone else is thinking like, dang, you know, why can't she get here or produce a show about that? Don't think it's not because I don't want to. I just need a little bit of help. And one way to do that is by becoming a patron of Cider Chat via the Cider Chat Patreon page or make a donation. You go into a cider bar and you have a 2 ounce glass or 4 ounce glass, you're making a little donation towards that maker. And while making this here podcast, I could use help too. So you could find that at ciderchat.com. And again, if you have news out and about in Ciderville, send it my way and I'm more than happy to share it as I can. Last week's episode number 141 was with Heartwood Farm and Cidery. That was with Val and Brent and Kat out in Osbridge, Ontario, not too far from Toronto. Just an amazing conversation with these folks over at their cidery, sitting down at their kitchen table and then walking out to the cidery, walking out to the barn and seeing the little pigs called coonies. And Brent walked up to one of the little piglets and scratched his belly and he kind of fell to the side in such glee. I did two little mini videos there recorded and they're at the Cider Chat YouTube channel. You might want to see that. One is on Heartwood Cider and just a scene there. And then the second one was a short little mini video of the do-it-yourself homemade chiller that Brent made out of an air conditioner. He got the plans on YouTube. So that was a really fun chat. It was all part of this cider tour I've been doing with Ryan Monkman of Fieldbird Cider. But this week, we're going to kind of blend it up a little bit by waiting for another Canadian episode while I bring you to Claremont, California. I was there in mid-July, and I was able to leave the family and just go driving out to Claremont and spend a little bit of time with just an amazing gal and some good folks. I mean, really good folks. I felt like, you know, I could have my suitcase and just move here. They were so welcoming and just damn delightful. I don't know. I hope you're going to get the sense on this chat from it. I can't speak highly enough of Kat Fleming, the owner of Iron Bark Cider Works. And just give you a little bit of a background on this. This cidery is new. It's a newly opened, and the area that's in is desert. I mean, it's like low desert, kind of like at that base of that Mount Baldy Mountain, which is all like natural preserves. And the day I was there, it was not only hot, it was humid. And I'm used to humidity because of where I live on the east coast of the U.S., but I'm not used to that in the California desert region. So it was really hot, and I'll tell you, cold, refreshing cider as made at Iron Bark was just the ticket to quench my thirst. Now, she is absolutely irreverent. She holds nothing back in that way and creates this special welcoming space for folks of all walks of life. Like, you will get thrown out on your hiney. Well, probably not, because I don't think she's, you know, going to muscle you out like that. But, you know, you're not speaking kindly of other people. And I like that. I like somebody who really speaks up for their convictions. And it's not just a place to go and hammer other people with your I don't know, going ons. Kind of like I'm going on right now. So let me get back to the story. This is Ironbark. We're sitting down here. I just met Kat. She's going to be talking with me about this flight. We're just talking about her ciders and this kind of niche that she has in this oasis in the middle of the desert, if you will. So she's north of San Diego and to the east of LA, a great stop if you're flying into Palm Springs or the airport in Ontario to really go there and quench your thirst, because it is a cool, cool place and nice people there. So let's head to this chat now and make sure that that glass is full with cider for sure, and join this chat with Kat at Ironbark Ciderworks in Claremont, California. SoCal style cider. And what does that mean? Whole new, like, you know, style category.
It is a whole new style. It focuses rather than on the apple and the orchard, mm-hmm. because we're not orchard based.
Right.
So it focuses more on creating something that's light and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Without all the sugar, not heavy, just beautiful in the summertime.
Kind of cider. Okay,
yeah.
Uh-oh!
All right, Ciderville, for anyone who's been in this biz for a while, you're probably going, what, SoCal cider? That sounds like something very Californian, and indeed you are right. And I was a little, you know, wondering what this was about too. But bear with this conversation, because one thing, cider or any craft libation is always the art form of the maker. And in this case, that is Kat Fleming, who we're speaking with on this chat. And she has a particular audience that she's addressing. So SoCal Cider, as I realize, did make quite a bit of sense. So let's keep on going into this chat and delving into the different styles of cider and why she's doing it this way and how it works for that region of California known as SoCal, and in this case is right smack in the middle of Claremont. And you brought out this amazing, I'm seeing, it looks like there's five, no, six.
Six, seven, eight. I can give you another one, though.
Okay, well, wait here.
We normally have nine.
Normally have nine?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, no, we normally have 10, sorry.
Normally have 10. Let's start from the beginning, just a little bit. When did you open here?
We only opened in November.
In this section of town, which is, you're at the base of Mount Bald, right?
Yeah,
which is like massive, like mountain,
beautiful.
You see from, yeah, like
you could see it if we didn't have our pop-up out there.
But
on a clear day you can see the mountains right over there. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But we also have a brewery right there and a distillery coming right, two doors down.
Whoa.
So it's going to be alcohol hub right here.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like being in Santa Cruz, you know, and over where like Santa Cruz Cider Company is, there's a lot of craft beer and distilling going on, so it's a nice place for people to gather and sit outside. And behind us I could hear the bubbling of the cider fermenting.
We have fermentation happening.
Yeah, and I can smell the sweetness.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're in this, like, I don't know, it's a pretty big tall ceiling. You really sit up nicely. It's like these cool pink chairs and your logo with the big archer with the arrow going through the apple, all this wild
female kind of, archer.
Yeah, a lot of cool artwork, women on the walls, and it's bright. It's like a nice energy in here. It's really inviting. Yeah, it's a crazy little
lights up on the ceiling, these big round globe lights are like bronze shining down. Kind of place you, nice.
We like curves.
You like curves, yeah, I see. And you got a lot of curves here, including the tanks.
The and tanks and the bar is a pink,
yeah,
curved.
Yeah.
Beautiful curved bar.
Really beautiful.
I love that bar.
And you have a really nice setup here for having like an open mic kind of scene.
Yeah, we have bands every week.
Nice. Cool. So it says it's established 2016, but you open this
location. Yeah, because it took that long to open
it. All right.
We've had this since probably July in 2016, this
wow.
space.
Wow.
But this was offices.
Offices.
We had to gut it.
Yeah. There's no sign of office here.
We had to dig up the floor. This whole floor, there was one little bathroom over in that corner. We had to remove that to make these bathrooms. We had to put all the piping over to there because it wasn't there. So the whole floor was dug up, and you had no idea what's underneath this friggin' cement.
More cement?
Huge boulders.
Huge boulders.
Yeah, we were pulling out of our
floor.
From
Mount Baldy. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What kind of like stone would that be around?
It's granite.
Granite.
They call it Mount Baldy potatoes.
Wow, cool. Oh, you really set it up nice. I mean, it has that feminine touch to it. And but what a great place for a date night, you know, hanging out with friends.
It's a safe space, so yeah. Women can come here, sit at the bar and not worry about getting hit on, or it's safe space for everyone. That's really important in our cider house rules. If you read them on the board on the front,
cool.
We don't like accept any kind of misogynist behavior, homophobic, transphobic, anything like that. You're out.
Well,
and we've had to remove someone.
You've had to remove. Wow, that's so unique to me, because in Ciderville I just find everybody is just so sweet and generous with energy. But you know, sometimes, well, it takes many apples to make an orchard. And sometimes there's some wiggy apples out there.
Yeah, I know.
What are you going to do? So let's talk about your ciders here. So this Magnificent Flight, and you have this cool little handout here.
You have to have your glasses to read it because it's so small.
I could read it unbelievably. Just a little dark here. Let's see the Duchess. You know it, so
yeah.
How about
the
if
The Duchess help me is Earl Grey tea.
Is that the one I should start with?
Yeah. Where is that?
Each one. These
right
are,
here.
Okay, so these are some swell pours. It has a D on it, so that's how you tell that it's a Duchess.
Yep.
And the little, your serving size is these like little, kind of like egg-shaped glassware, clear glassware.
Yeah, they're stemless wine glasses, really.
Right, yeah, exactly. Hey, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to a successful venture in Ciderville and for Iron Bark Cider Works. So a little Earl Grey, you said, with the that's perfect because, of course, I'm a little jet-lagged.
You'll get some caffeine with that.
I wanted some caffeine. I'm like, I really need some caffeine. So you're steeping Earl Grey in there. You're getting a little bit of tannin.
Mm-hmm.
Structure from that. Can we talk about you're primarily using a primary base cider? Would that be true?
We use no.
No.
We don't.
You don't.
Well, we do.
You
and
do.
And we don't.
Okay.
All of our fruit based ciders, we ferment the fruit with the cider. So that is not a base cider. Like that's its own thing.
Right, you're right.
It's just like a little unit there on its own. You can't mix it with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And our tanks are so small. They're only 10 barrel tanks.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we do with the Duchess, the Earl Grey tea cider, is we used to ferment the tea with the cider, but we had a big problem with filtering. I've got a the reason I started this whole thing.
Yes.
I used to homebrew because I am gluten intolerant. I'm allergic, really allergic to sulfites. And I found that I'm allergic to yeast. So.
Whoa.
And I don't want sugar.
Whoa.
So I started homebrewing. And.
Homebrewing making beer, though?
No.
No, when you're saying homebrewing.
Because I can't even go near gluten.
Right. So
Home brewing cider, fermenting.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, there's people are really sticklers about that. I know.
My bad. Okay. Sorry.
You know
everyone.
What? It's your cider. You can call it whatever the hell you want, and you can call yourself whatever you want.
I started making cider at home because I wanted something to drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't get non-sulfided wine.
Right, right.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
I wanted something with no sugar in it, so.
So there you were.
I started drinking 101 cider. First of all, I started
which
drinking...
Which is a California cider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't put sulfites in their cider.
Mm.
I'm super sensitive to sulfites.
Hmm.
But actually, before that, I was drinking Ace Joker.
Right. Yeah.
But they stopped making it. And that's when I started making my own cider.
I mean, they're still
They're still Ace, yeah.
Yeah,
but they don't make the... I can't get the Joker.
You can make the Joker
anywhere.
Okay.
The Joker had no carbs. Like, it had 4 grams of carbohydrates per 12 ounces, which is what our cider has. It was totally fermented to dry. It was delicious, super tart, yum. And it's exactly like our OG, which we don't have here because it's in the tank right now. We ran out.
Interesting.
But wow. Our OG apple, I would venture to say that it would be very, very similar. Like, it's the OG, almost. It's just a beautiful...
What does the OG stand for?
Oh.
Original gravity is what I think.
Yeah,
when I hear OG, I'm thinking original gravity.
Original...
I know I'm in California.
Original granny.
There's like these cannabis shops everywhere. So it can be like Kush or OG or something like that.
Diesel. One of our customers said you should call it that.
Right.
So we did. We thought, yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay.
It's really just like original gangster.
Original gangster.
It's the original gangster of cider.
Right on. Okay, good. So that's what really pushed you in there, was like your own health to kind of start doing and making cider that way. It makes complete sense, right?
Yeah.
What else are you going to do and if you're not getting what you like? So I know that you do have these no use of sulfites, no added sugar.
We ferment to dry. So
you ferment to dry.
We ferment out all the sugar.
Uh-huh. And you don't back sweeten at all?
No. None.
So any kind of sweetness that you're getting from is where there's like a fruit added to it?
Yep. Or, yep. I mean, even just apples are very kind of fruity tasting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like our OG, it tastes delightfully fruity.
Well, that's...
And the yeast we use. We only use the same yeast throughout everything. And I know people find that kind of annoying.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I want to make sure we heard that correctly.
We do, yes.
Okay.
And people find that... Oh, you know, you don't experiment with the yeast, blah, blah, blah. We have experimented with all the yeasts.
Mm-hmm.
And we found this yeast that we love. It makes the cleanest cider.
We want that. Yeah.
We want clean. We don't want too many esters.
Mm-hmm.
We just want it to be SoCal-style cider. Light.
Right.
Quaffable.
Right. It is quaffable.
It's thirst quenching.
Yeah. I like, you know, as I'm kind of sitting here, my palate's kind of dropping into the Duchess. I'm getting this, get that. If you had that, I love black tea, so I'm a black tea fan. Afternoon black tea fan, always.
Yay.
And so I'm getting that top of the mouth feel that you get from black tea.
Mm.
It's kind of a little bit rough up there and just makes you feel that like tannin structure.
That's Twinings. We import it directly from England.
Oh, the black
Twinings,
tea that you use?
Earl
yeah,
Grey
yeah,
tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you're just pouring that Twining
but
tea right in?
We
put like
it
a strainer
bags.
Bags. Okay. I know. Yeah, because you were...
chuck it in the tank.
Yeah. Because you mentioned something about having difficulty filtering.
So now, yeah, we were throwing it all in the beginning and fermenting together, but then it made it a nightmare for filtering. So now we make the cider, so it is a base cider. We make the cider first, we filter it, and then we steep the tea.
Mm.
So I believe you're probably getting more caffeine this way.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had it tested, but possibly.
Yeah.
It tastes more tea-like now than it ever has before.
Oh, good. No, I came here on the right day, didn't I? Perfect, because I needed that. That's a nice one to start
with. I know.
Me at.
It's a good breakfast cider.
We need
I started
more
with
breakfast
that on Sunday before our yoga session. We have yoga on Sundays here.
Yeah, you have a lot of really cool events here. So what is the ABV on this?
That one's 7.5, I think.
Dang.
Have a look now. It changes every batch we do changes.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, that's pretty righteous.
That's our lowest one.
That's your lowest one, 7.5.
I can't even read. This is too small for me to read. I made it so small that I can't even read it. It's 7.5, yeah.
All right.
It was 7.2 at one point, but now it's gone up.
You know, we're in Southern California, you know, just to the west of Ontario, which has an airport, so folks are flying in, they could pop right, it's right off the highway. It's a dry, you know, kind of arid area, right? Yeah. We're out in the desert. Where the heck are the apples coming from? Mombaldi?
Washington.
Washington State, yeah, okay. So you're bringing down the juice. I mean, yeah, this is what people are doing. And that's when my original question, just kind of saying your base cider, are you doing different blends of apples or?
We have, we bring down the cider blend.
Mm-hmm.
Already mixed for us,
okay,
and crushed and everything. We also bring down the Granny Smith on its own.
Oh,
so we mix in the Granny Smith for our acid level.
Wow, wow! All from Washington State.
Yeah.
Okay, those Washingtonians listening are really psyched to hear that because Pacific Northwest are very, very proud of what they're doing up there for
well,
cider.
Well, we love them. Yeah. They have good apples.
Yeah, they make a lot of apples. Yeah, absolutely. So we have the Duchess. What would be the next one on this cute little flight here?
I would try the Passionista, which is
Passionista.
Yes.
Passionista.
It's our passion fruit cider. It's
8.4%. Ooh. Okay, so let me just describe this. The Duchess was like a clear, so it had that like a light straw color, and it looks like the Passionista is that same kind of light straw color. There's a lot of little bubbles bubbling away here, so you are doing some, using like a bright tank.
No, we have uni tanks.
Oh, okay.
So we ferment and carbonate in the same
tank. Right in the tank. Okay, yeah. Great. Wonderful. Ooh.
And just to give a plug for Best Buy Brewing Equipment, they're just east of us, 40 minutes east of us. They are, these, all our tanks come from them. We've changed out a few. They are the best.
Working
we
really
love them.
You.
They're Chinese tanks, but they work perfectly. And if you have any problems, the guy there, Aban, he's a most helpful, wonderful man, will just change everything out just like that. He's so brilliant.
Well, you're so close by. You can't beat that. It's a supply store. That's like a direct line.
I know.
You
can
run
great.
A cider line between
Plus,
here
they have
and there.
The best prices in the whole of America.
Mm. Cool. Well, we'll put a link in the show notes to that
they're
a location.
We love them.
Yeah, and you know what? These are very movable tanks, too.
Yeah. Well, we're just about to move up very, very soon to... These are 10-barrel. We want to go up to 20-barrel.
And you have the height in here, so you can do it.
Yeah.
So the demand for cider is starting to kick up, huh?
Yeah, Southern California is not the big cider place.
Yet,
that's right. And when people... So many people come in here thinking... They're saying to us, I don't like cider.
They have no idea.
So we just keep giving them tastes. They didn't think that they like cider, but when they go out, they do, because we don't make sweet cider. People don't like sweet cider, especially on the West Coast. People do not like sweet. They don't want anything sweet. They want...
Yeah.
They want dry.
Yeah, they want something...
They want something light and healthy.
Some people like sweet. I mean,
definitely some people do like sweet. Yeah, but on the West Coast, not so much.
Mm-hmm,
like, we're all looking for a bit more dry, low-cal.
So this is interesting, the Passionista. This is a fruit cider here. It kind of has that kind of like jackfruit flavor a little bit. Kind of like that juicy fruit on the edge, but not. So, can you tell me a little bit about this cider?
Well, it's apple juice and passion fruit juice.
Passion fruit juice mixed together.
Are
you doing that? Are you fermenting them together?
Yes.
So you put it right from the beginning?
Yep, it's all from the beginning.
Wow. How was it to scale up from doing this at home and then going to these tanks?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. We had no idea how to work the tanks.
And you just have done this like since November. I mean, is that when you started working with the tanks, or did you have them earlier?
We had them a bit earlier.
Wow.
So we actually probably tried our first batch in September in the tanks.
Mm.
Before that, we had 18 carboys. We were like fermenting and doing like
a lot of work,
beer shows and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it was
yeah. That's tiring really quick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the tanks, now the tanks are so great. I love them.
Yeah. Yeah. I like just hearing them sitting here and having that sound. It just brings you into, you know, you're in the cidery. That's perfect. Well, this is pretty delightful.
It's my favorite. I love that one.
Yeah, it has that kind of like, it does have that sweetness from the passion, you know, fruit, that kind of like a twang a little bit in there. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of astringency again. And kick-ass cider.
Yeah, it's definitely kick-ass.
Yeah, I know.
It's 8.4%.
I know. Well...
You have to watch it when you're drinking that one.
Why not? Yeah. That's after you have, well, you get the, you know, the Duchess with the black tea, so you can go to the Passion and use stuff. I love that. I love the little names that you have here. So what next do we have?
Wait, this was the Duchess. What was it?
Oh,
that's the Hoppelganger. Might as well go for that.
Okay.
That's our dry hopped cider.
Hoppelganger.
We have two dry hopped, but I have to go and get the other one if you want to try the other one.
This is the Hoppelganger. I love that one.
It's an IPA doppelganger.
IPA doppelganger.
But it's not really. It doesn't taste at all like an IPA.
You're having fun with the name. Okay. Let's see. Little light hop. Over again, this is like that light straw. Nice little bubbles coming up.
Citra hops.
Mmm.
Citra hops go just so perfectly with apple juice.
It does, because it gives you that kind of grapefruity, tropical fruit flavor there. That's really
that we love. We're just going for that in everything.
Oh, I like that. I like that. It has a really nice finish, which coming from the Passionista, kind of goes into the back side, you know, of either side of my teeth, and just pulls it out. That's nice. That's really nice. Hop ciders are interesting because they could go either way. They could be really over, like, hop bombs that don't really blend well with the apple. And the apple just wants to kind of, like, make sure that it's still being showcased. And so this is nice because you have that nice balance between the two. And it's making me salivate also, which is a nice added effect to it, which makes you want to
have another
some
sip.
More.
Yep.
I know. I have to keep it going. Again, so this glass.
I know, like my empty is glass. I mean, my glass is empty.
Yeah. Do you need a little bit more?
Yeah.
Can I borrow some of
yours?
Yeah, please. Yeah. So this one, again, has the H on it, so people could identify that as they're going along.
Yeah, we give you the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take these off every time we wash them.
Yeah, it seems like
so. Then we write it on with a glass pen.
This is really nice writing too.
Yeah, all the girls.
Is that part of like the prerequisite?
No, we all
you have
just
to know
like,
how to
we,
like.
We all just like we don't let Jim do it because his letters are kind of crazy. But all the girls like really get into it.
Yeah.
Look at this A.
Oh, that's nice. Let me take a photo of that because now that you said that, folks are going to want to know.
That A is so pretty.
It is. It's a beautiful A.
I think Darlene did that.
My full name is Alexandria, so as Alexandria with my first name A, that's a righteous A.
Yeah, that really is. I love that A.
Yeah.
Darlene does beautiful lettering.
Your presentation here is really nice because you have this like nice light kind of straw colors, and then in the center you have these like, I don't know, deep, like a rosé almost, but not. So
yeah, we have three.
That's a Duchess.
So this is the Sassy Simpson.
I'll pull it up where I've been going here, so I could keep my range here.
Oh, the Anais is this is our sour one, so we'll try that one. Right before the volcano.
Okay, the volcano. Okay, so this has a double S, and you said it's called what?
Sassy Simpson.
Sassy Simpson. And after you have a bit of cider, it's a Sassy Simpson cider.
Yeah, it's our most popular one.
Interesting.
It's blackcurrant.
Wow.
It's blackcurrant juice and fermented with the apple juice, and then we steep it with blackcurrant tea.
Whoa. Yeah. I mean, my nose, just from a distance, I could really smell that currant.
The last batch was 9%. This one's only 8%. So.
Aww.
I know.
Hey, dang. I could kick that one.
This one's got a bit more tartness to it than the last batch as well.
Mm.
The last batch was very... The last batch had such a bigger mouthfeel. Like, it was voluminous,
yeah,
or whatever. I don't know what that is. But it was just, yeah.
This is interesting because it's almost like, it tastes like a berry.
Mm.
You know, the currants could really leave a berry profile. But currants also have a little bit of those tannins too. And so just to also describe it, has that like red currant coloring to it. And wow, that's just, the smell is really pulls you in. It's so interesting.
Jam. It brings you,
yeah,
mind
like
jam.
A jam. Yeah. Yeah. Another perfect breakfast one.
Yes. Because it's got nice? It's got caffeine as well.
Oh, yeah. With
it's
a little
got
bit
black
of
tea
toast
in it.
And jam.
Yes.
And then that to kick back that bread. Mm.
So blackcurrant tea was invented back in, like in the early 1900s for Prince Edward of England.
Oh.
Who became King Edward for a very short period of time. He gave up. He's the one who abdicated the crown for the American divorcee.
That's
and her name
right.
was Wallace Simpson. So we've said, we aren't naming it after him. He's already got the tea named after, named for, I mean, he's got the tea made for him. So we're naming it after the American divorcee, Wallace Simpson.
Awesome.
So that's why we call it Sassy Simpson, because she was sassy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she got the person who was going to be king. Now, you have an accent. Are you English?
I'm Australian.
Australian.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you get to the U.S.?
Oh, my dad's American.
Okay, so...
He's from this area. He moved us all here when I was 16.
Ah, okay.
So I went to high school here, stayed till I was 27, then went back to Australia, and then... My husband, who was my boyfriend in high school,
wow,
we both married other people.
Oh,
and then
cool.
You know, when that thing went south for both of us,
yeah.
We found each other again on Facebook.
Rekindled. Wow!
And I've been here since 2010.
No kidding! Wow! Well, congratulations to that. What part of Australia? Because Australia has a really growing cider.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
There's some great cider in Australia.
Are you?
I'm from Perth.
Okay.
On the west coast.
And
there's cider
there in Perth. Okay. Mainly, I've talked to folks in Tasmania, which
I've never been there. I would love
to. The Hoon Valley.
There's a lot of apples in Tasmania.
Yes, there is, and a lot of wine, and of course, Sydney. There's a growing cider place there too. Yeah, Hugh McKellar, who writes the Real Cider Reviews, is really somebody who's really promoting cider in Australia. So he's
a good
person and is really trying to light the torch on the media level of it. Yeah, so you probably, who knows, with your family, you might have like cider way back in your roots, for all you know.
Yeah, you never know.
So how do you deal with like not having sulfites in here?
Well... I mean, it's fermented to dry, and we more than sterile filter it.
Okay, all right, okay.
So there's no yeast getting through there.
Yeah.
It's never going to re-ferment.
So how does the yeast affect you the same way? Just like sulfites, it's just not a good connection for cat. It doesn't do well.
Oh, my God.
Interesting.
My ankles, see how fat they are right now? You don't know them before, but they're huge. My feet swell up when I have sulfites.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had red wine on Sunday, so that's why my feet are swollen right now.
Yeah, small sacrifice, I guess, but one nonetheless. Wow, that's a bummer. So, Sassy Simpson, I love that. I love the whole play of things. And again, it's like feminine energy that's coming through here. It's really, really nice.
Well, I wanted it to be not a brewery.
Mmm.
Have you noticed all the breweries look alike? They're all like wood and metal and hard corners and blokey.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted it to be completely not that.
Mm. Yeah, you revved it up, for sure. Because you have these like fun, kind of like almost like futuristic seats at the bar, these red seats at that beautiful pink bar. Yeah. the curves are showing here.
And our art is all boobs.
So just so what folks listening, she's talking about women with boobs up on the wall. And who's the artist?
It's Anna Zuleva. She's Russian. I found her on Art Finder. It's an art program. Well, it's like an interface, and you can just interface with all these artists all over the world and buy original art from them. So that's what I did. I just bought them all from her.
Wow.
She sent them to me from Russia.
Wow.
She's so much fun. They're very cartoon-like, so they don't look like explicit anything.
Yeah, it doesn't feel pornographic.
No, you know, not
because
at all.
There's a lot of naked women up on the walls here. But they're inviting, you know, they make you ponder, and you don't feel weird by looking at them, like you're looking at something that is like, oh my God, I'm looking at a naked woman. It's like,
no, yeah.
It's really cool.
I mean, I love that one, the most popular one, because everyone wants to buy them, and I actually did sell one off the wall once.
Wow.
The one with her boobs are eyes, and she's pointing at the painting.
Is it the one way down at the end?
It's kind of in the middle here.
Oh, okay.
And she's pointing at a painting. Cigarette in mouth. All these women have cigarettes in their mouths for some reason. I don't know what that means. It's got a double meaning, I'm sure. I think it's more like it's a power thing.
Yeah.
I look at it as, you know, female empowerment.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing about it, I think it really fits around where cider is, too. Because cider's kind of like, oh, it could be like, oh, you know, do I need to, like, cuddle up to beer? Do I need to cuddle up to wine? It's like, fuck you, you know? We're like,
honestly, yeah.
You know, right here with cider, deal with it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like part of the statement there. You know, I'm up on the wall and empowered and deal with it. I like that. But it's not pushing in your face. It's really
it's
feminine.
It's
back, beautiful.
It just stands back, mm-hmm. And we do have one guy. He's over the exit sign.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I see the guy over the exit sign. Was that something that she also did?
Yeah, she did that.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've got a lot more of her art at home. I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it. Framed. I had to get them framed.
Yeah. Really fun. Really fun. Yeah. You know, the chairs is kind of like, I expect to see cupcakes. You know, it's very cupcakey-like. You know, it's just wavy and delicious. Really delicious.
All
really
curves.
Well appointed.
I didn't want to have square tables. I got round tables.
Yeah.
Rounded chairs.
Well, let's
round
face
bar.
It. The apple's round.
Yeah.
You know, the apple's round and very
are round.
Beautiful,
yeah,
too,
full
and squeezable.
And voluptuous.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what fruits are.
Yeah.
All palms are like that.
Absolutely.
They like being squeezed in the best way and appreciated, but not abused.
Absolutely.
So, with honored.
Yes.
Honor the palms. Okay, well, goody. Well, let's see what else we have here.
Okay,
we have
Sassy Simpson, I'm thinking we have to go to the Twilight. Now, the Twilight is blueberry, but it's our most wine-like cider. It's got a lot of tannins. It's tannin forward.
Tannin forward blueberry.
Yeah.
So the color's exquisite. Wow, look at that color.
I'm going to steal some of your Sassy
Yes,
Simpson.
Please.
I'm dry.
Very nice. Very nice. You're saying it's tannin forward, but, you know, having had English ciders that are really tannin forward, it's like, wow.
Okay, yeah, but for a SoCal cider.
For a SoCal cider. Okay, so, I mean, that's good for folks to know. I mean, it feels really much more balanced to me than heavy on the tannin. I like the tannin structure. Is there enough to carry the berry on your palate a little bit? It gets to ride.
And this one's 9%.
Yeah, that's really delightful. I really like that a lot.
Yay.
Because blueberries could be a difficult little buggers to work with.
Yeah.
You know?
And every one is different that we do. The last one was so much lighter. We did everything exactly the same.
Mm.
I do not know how this happens. But every time it's different.
I wonder if perhaps it's a different blueberry variety.
No.
Could be, no, we don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, there are so many different blueberry varieties, and some are, well, I wouldn't taste that you're freaked out in that cider at all, because, it's just so clear. Obviously, you're filtering, so you have that clarity that's really amazing. I mean, there's a reason why you're doing that filter.
Because I'm allergic to yeast.
Yeah.
And so I've got to drink my ciders.
You got to.
I'm so sorry that we don't have the Zhang. It's one of the most popular ciders. Mm. It's ginger and pear.
Ginger and
pear. Oh my god, it's like we put 200 pounds of fresh ginger in each tank. It is so heaven, and it's probiotic too. So it just is so good for you in a million different ways.
Yeah, ginger.
You've got the ginger, you've got the superfruit apple.
Yeah.
You've got the probiotics. Mm. So delightful. And it tastes like heaven. Yeah. Because I love ginger. Some people don't like it, but I love it.
No, I've made ginger ciders. I think ginger works really well with apples. And again, there's like all these variations, kind of like hops. Some people make it like a little ginger bomb, which could be good. In fact, I found it could be a nice palate cleanser when you've had a lot of ciders or you've had beer or whatever and just like put some ginger through. It's almost like you feel like you're being healed.
Oh, yeah. That's how ours is. It's kind of a ginger bomb.
I love
ginger. So, also, it's the great antidote for the volcano.
The volcano, which we have not touched
it
yet.
It neutralizes the capsaicin in the volcano, which has
I love that. Well, this blueberry is really, really delightful. I just want to talk about it a little bit more. Because you said it's a little wine-like. And so I just want to kind of try to qualify that a little bit.
Well, more than anything else here.
Yeah, more than anything else. It still has that apple crunch at the end that you want. But the blueberries are very soft and delicate in it. But that's what I like about it. Because some blueberries can taste a little off balance for me.
Really?
This does not. Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But, you know, I want to say, though, Kat, the big thing is when you come to a cidery and you taste it, especially in the presence of the cider maker, the ciders always taste absolutely fantastic to me. You have the energy with it. So that is another reason for people to come to Iron Bark.
All right. Yeah. And then now we have the Jamaica. Jamaica is hibiscus petals.
Yeah.
So we just get the hibiscus petals. They're dried. We throw them in the tank. It's very pretty.
Oh, yes, it is, I bet.
Reminds me of being in Bali.
Oh, my goodness.
Petals.
Are you doing it loose? Like a little...
We did at first, but now we try and stick it in the sack.
We got to reel it in. Dang, again, look at that brilliant red.
I'm
going
to steal some of your cider here.
Yes.
I'll just take the Duchess.
Well, I had this Mrs. Hibiscus tree that was my grandmother's, passed to my mother's and passed to me. And I'm sad to say Mrs. Hibiscus just passed on. But there's baby hibiscuses, so it's okay. So I have this strong pull to hibiscuses because they're just exquisite flowers. They could be red, right? This is red.
Yeah,
right?
these are the red ones.
But they could also be orange.
Yeah, or yellow even.
Yeah.
And like light pink. Mm. I love hibiscus.
And they grow out in California.
But this is hibiscus. I think it's a particular... I can read it. Hibiscus roseola.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a particular kind of hibiscus.
Mm-hmm. That really lends the flavor.
Yeah.
Because some hibiscuses won't.
No,
Yeah.
I don't think you can go pick your hibiscus flowers and put them in.
Right. It's not like going out foraging at your neighbor's hibiscus plants in California. I always wanted to
Do not try this at home.
No. You'll get in trouble. That's nice. It's subtle. It's very subtle. And not like really strong. It's a really kind of like a rosé. What people are making rosés for cider, right? That's kind of like the new thing, that whole style.
Yeah.
And they're using hibiscus for the color and a little bit of that flavor profile. So that's really nice.
Oh, yeah, we love the hibiscus. And now, this one is the Anaïs, named after Anaïs Nin, the writer.
Yes.
Who apparently really loved lime drinks.
Oh.
So this is organic lime juice fermented with the apple juice.
Organic lime juice fermented with the apple juice.
Yep, that's it. Nothing else.
Wow.
We actually, my idea was to make a mojito cider. But then we added the dried mint. Fresh mint wouldn't have been good. That would have been manky, but...
Wow, smell that. Mine. Yeah.
So we added the dried mint to it, post-fermentation, and...
I want to put
the
some...
The mint overpowered. So the lime tasted heavenly, like Rose's lime juice, almost. I feel like I'm drinking a kamikaze every time I drink it. It's super tart.
Yeah, wow.
Very tart.
Ooh.
Yeah. Twang.
Nice. Boy, sell this at the lemonade stand. I could see that. This is perfect for a day like today because it's kind of hazy outside. It almost
muggy.
Feels like there's humidity that you never have in California.
Know,
I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, where am I? Back on the East Coast?
I know.
This is wrong.
Like we're waiting for a storm, almost.
Yeah. But not, right? There's no storm coming, I hope.
We had a storm on Friday. It was insane.
A rainstorm?
Yeah. We have a drain right outside our outdoor area.
I actually saw that. I saw that. You posted that online.
You never see that
here. Yeah, that must have freaked people out. It did. That's where it gets scary. Folks don't realize, like, you have to slow down on the highway when it's raining in California because it doesn't rain.
No, yeah. Nobody knows what to do in the rain.
Yeah, it could be dangerous.
It's terrifying. Mm. So much water falling from the sky.
With the lime, it's interesting because it's kind of like, oh, what's going on there? But I keep on wanting to drink it because it's so peculiar.
It is peculiar.
Like, I want to keep on diving into it.
It tastes like, you know, Rose's lime juice tastes like an artificial lime thing. And this is no artificial.
No, organic.
It's not it's organic lime juice that we just threw into the tank with the apple juice.
Mm.
And it comes out like that. So that isn't an artificial flavor. Now we know. Rose's lime juice is not artificial lime juice. It's real lime.
Huh.
These are the Mexican limes.
Right over the border.
Yeah.
They let them over the border? That's good.
I know, amazingly enough.
Good. They're palms. They kind of roll by. Oh, well, they're not palms. They're citrus fruit. This would be amazing with lemon meringue pie.
Ooh.
Could you imagine that? Like, with like a real well-made lemon meringue pie, that would be crazy good.
Yeah,
just to be pairing that.
Mm. Now I want lemon meringue pie.
I mean, it would be...
key
like,
lime pie.
Pulling the two.
Some creamy lime thing. Mm.
Sometimes I bring lemons home from my family's lemon tree here in California. And I'll make it into, friends and I, we all pass them out. We make a lemon, a mousse. And then pour cider into it.
Oh, my God. Stop.
And so you have like a little kind of, like a little bit. And the lemon mousse with cider. So you're kind of doing the same thing. That's what this reminds me of. And so, Laura, if you're listening right now, this is exactly what Kat has made here, is our, like, that lemon citrusy mousse with the cider that we love.
Yum.
That's crazy making, yeah.
We have that in our slushy machine.
Oh, this
yes,
one?
Yes, that one.
And quenchable.
We have two in our slushy machine. The other one is Passionista mixed with the Jamaica.
I love it.
To make it pink.
This is so... California.
It is.
You know, and you know.
Well, we have another one in the tank, a new one, the peach one.
Peach.
The we're calling it the impeached.
The impeached peach cider, yes. So, again, is that, you're not using any of this, like a stone fruit, like raw, you're using juice and getting the juice, which certainly makes your life as a cider maker a lot easier all the way through, and you could really. Balance that out.
We started pressing our own fruits.
Right.
Like we have a press.
Yeah.
You know, we have a grinder and a press.
You could do that if you want to.
And we could, but we don't have the room here.
Yeah.
It's a tiny little place.
Got to keep the masses, you know, satiated with your cider.
But
and obviously you're going through it.
It was fun when we were doing it. It's so much fun making cider from scratch. It's my favorite thing to do in the whole world.
How did you learn? Did you go to any classes to learn the cider making?
Yes. We went to OSU.
OSU has it.
We went to fermentation classes up there. And we also went to the cider classes. We went to the ones in Corvallis, the fermentation classes at OSU. And then we went to the cider classes in Portland.
Was that done by
OSU as well?
OSU, okay. Yeah. Wow. And
all
let's just say what OSU stands
there,
for.
Oregon State University.
That's right. So we want to give them a little plug. Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. All the greats were there. Like the people from.
Was that like Peter Mitchell? Was he?
We were the class right after Peter Mitchell stopped.
All right. Yeah.
But then their guests were so great. We had Reverend Nat.
Yep.
We had
Nat West.
Nat West. We had Dave from Two Towns.
Yep. Dave. I can't think of his last name.
And we had Nick Gunn.
Yep. Nick, who was with Wandering Angus and now is like with something else. Yep, nice guy. I've had him on the podcast.
We had all those wonderful people.
Yeah, any women teaching up there?
Yes.
Not Jenna.
Oh my God, my brain
Celeste,
is. I hate my brain sometimes. Wait, I'll ask him.
Okay. Yeah. Go ask. You want to know who? She's now walked over to speak to her husband to find out the name of the woman who was teaching.
Jessica Just.
Oh, okay, good.
She's the best.
Okay, good. Yeah, right. I mean, because, you know, women do have, like, particularly good palates. So it's great to meet a woman cider maker.
Yeah, oh my God. I don't know what's wrong with my brain. So Jessica Just was fantastic, absolutely brilliant. She was the best teacher, hands down, that I've had.
Nice.
All through college and everything.
And were they... she just has moved the volcano in front of me. Now, the volcano has a giant V on it.
With flames coming out of the top.
Yeah, right. Being in this kind of place, it could have been, you know... I'm out in the area near the Imperial Valley... where they get a lot of vegetables and things like that. So this is peppers. What kind of peppers?
Habanero
peppers. Okay.
Very, very hot peppers.
Very hot peppers.
It's also got orange juice, pineapple juice, pear juice.
I'm so scared. I'm sticking my finger in it. Because I could be a little sensitive to peppers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're going to hate this.
No, I don't. Oh, well, it's very hot.
Yeah.
But...
serious backburn.
Yes. Way back in my throat. It's like the heat is on. However, it isn't... sometimes when I have a real hot pepper cider, which I know some people listening are like, what the heck? I mean, all these ciders, in some people's minds, they don't get it. But, you know, you gotta... take in that we are in Southern California, where it's way out of the box. Like, this region of the world sets their own standards and are not beholden to anyone. And that's the beauty of California overall, and why I'm so proud that my family is California. But, you know, I'm feeling a little warm, a little flush from it, but it's nice. I don't normally like a habanero. I've had some where I can't do it. It's just, it's not balanced. And so here we go for another sip.
I can't drink it on its own very often, but I put it into another cider to give it a kick. Like in the Passionista, it tastes heaven. We have one customer who always gets it. He calls it the Dan Kano, but it's
cleansing. It's like cleansing in a way, you know, kind of pulls you up when you have like a little pepper popper. But I'm surprising how much I like that.
Because
I was a little scared of for it.
We find that women like the Volcano better than men. We have women getting pints of it.
I could see
straight.
That.
Straight. I mean, yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Personally, but...
It's
we have
on
many
your palate.
Women. It's got a very dedicated following.
I could see that. It really sits on your palate. It's crazy because all your ciders are a little bit different from what I normally drink. But I don't know if it's because I'm sitting here at Iron Bark or what, or it's really hot today. I've been flying on a plane all day, but it's just like meeting exactly where I want to be. It's like opening up my taste buds all over the map and is waking me up. And this Volcano is kind of like it. It's crazy. I didn't think I wouldn't want that, but. And the this is the one with the lime.
The Anais, yeah.
Same kind of thing. It's just kind of crazy. I wouldn't think I'd like that, but I'm thinking again how I want to like pair this with food.
Oh yeah.
Like so.
You can actually use that in cooking. We do.
Oh,
like,
I bet. Like how?
If you marinate your meat
oh,
in it,
gosh.
It's heaven.
Wow. Wow,
yeah.
I could totally see that.
You can marinate your vegetables in that. It's so good, too.
Yeah, yeah, because it really comes through. And this color
and
here.
And the acid. See, what you need when you're marinating is you need that high acid.
Mm-hmm.
And that just carries the flavor. You've just got it all right there.
Yeah.
Add a little salt and you're right.
Yeah, you're golden.
Yeah.
That was Kat Fleming, the owner of Iron Bark Cider Works in Claremont, California. It is definitely Southern California, just a little bit inside of the extreme desert region, but it's kind of arid and dry, and those ciders were kicking back so nicely for me. After that chat, we headed out for dinner, myself, Kat, her husband Jim, and another friend Jim, and just had a rip-roaring fun time, so much so that we didn't want it to end. So then I headed over to their place, sat up by a fire, drank more cider, and had even more fun. I can't wait to return back to Claremont and visit these new friends of mine, and I hope that you get a chance too. It's a welcoming space, and they're making a cider that really, when you think about it, is kind of like what we all want. Something that's really light and refreshing and doesn't have a lot of additives. Nothing wrong with that. And yet, it has that twist that is oh so cat. Best of luck in this coming year, and we'll be keeping up with Iron Bark as time rolls on. This week, I sent out a packing checklist to the folks going on the Normandy tour out to Ciderville, stops all along the way in the countryside of Normandy. A couple of us are landing early, getting into the scene in Paris, and then we set sail. So what I do is I have this fantastic checklist, at least I think it's fantastic, because it's always saved my butt when I'm traveling, both nationally or internationally, to think about what I need to pack now. So I'm not doing that at the last minute, because there's nothing worse than that transition of being at home and then thinking, I'm going on a major trip. What do I need? Where is it? So I want to make this as stress-free as possible. So everybody get that checklist. And I'm hoping that if you are listening and you're going on the tour, that you're getting yourself ready now, because we want you to just be as stress-free as possible. So it's all about the apple and pears and all the amazing libations that we're going to be drinking while there. I'm just going to like have a whole 750 ml bottle, which I always like to do, and squirrel it away and drink it on my own time. I hope you think not bad of me doing that. But, you know, we're talking about, I mean, some of these bottles could be like 1.5%. 4.5%. That's doable. Yeah, I think so. For this podcaster, it is. I imagine if you're listening, probably for you too. Tannins. I'm starting to drool. Okay, I'll stop. I don't mean to torture you in any ways if you're not going. But if you're thinking about going, you know, there's two more spaces left and you could sign up. Go to the Totally Cider page at ciderchat.com. I have a lot more good chats coming up and can't wait to keep on rolling those out to you. In the meanwhile, I need to head out for now. So this is Aria Windcaller. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Did I swear?
It's an explicit podcast.
That's fine.
It's cider, you know.
Yeehaw!